Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I'm delighted that you're listening today, and if you're listening for the very first time, my name is Lane Loman, and I am the son of the founder of this radio ministry. It was founded in 1937 on a radio station in High Point, North Carolina by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Loman. So thanks for listening today, and I hope that you will enjoy Dad's sermon that we began last week titled Lead Me to the Rock. Great sermon he preached in a camp meeting setting. I want you to pray for me as I am involved in camp meeting in Cape May, New Jersey at Irma Holiness Camp Meeting. I'll finish up this weekend, then head home for a few days, and then August the 3rd, I'm going to travel to Mattoon, Illinois. I'll be at the Family Worship Center, wonderful church, just for Sunday morning only, and then August 10 through 17, I'll travel to Oakland City, Indiana, to the Southern Indiana Holiness Camp Meeting at Oakland City. It's drive-in camp, beautiful old tabernacle there in Oakland City, and services in the evening, and I hope that you'll pray for us as we're there. That'll be our last camp meeting of the summer, and then on the 21st of August, I will fly over to Charlottesville, Virginia, and I'll be at the Homecoming Revival for Enon Baptist Church in Dilwyn, Virginia. So thanks so much for praying for us. It means more than I can express. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience today. Thank you for the folks who tune in and listen and pray for us, and for the churches that pray for us. Thank you so much. Thank you for the way you bless the ministry. Hard to believe, Father, it's already through now the month of July, and over half the year is over, but you've been faithful, and I'm grateful, and I want to say that in this prayer. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. They far outweigh the difficulties that we've experienced, and we are truly thankful for your mercy and grace in our lives. Bless the remaining part of the program and the message that Dad will preach and the music that will be shared, and we give you all the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our address is the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us a letter. Let us know that you listen. And you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give there as well.
Tell me the story. says, the reason I want to get on this rock that has spiritual elevation is so I can have the heritage or the inheritance thou hast given those that fear thy name. Now, when you talk about heritage or inheritance, people think about heaven. And I'll confess to you, I'm on my way to heaven, but that's not what he's talking about here. I'm expecting one of these days to step inside that celestial city where there's a street of pure gold and walls of jasper, gates of pearl and deathless atmosphere. A city where decay will never gnaw at fatalist beauty, where time will never write a wrinkle, and where death will never dig a grave. I'm expecting to live in that city, beloved, where the sun will never go down. In fact, they'll never have any need of the sun or the moon, for the Lord God is the lamp and the light thereof. And the shades of night will never settle, and they'll never shut the gates of the city at all by day, for there'll be no night there. I'm on my way to that city. But I'm glad that you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to have an inheritance. In fact, beloved, you can have a little heaven down here to go to heaven in. I had a professor one time that seemed to delight in making fun of this thing we call heaven, the city four square. Why, he said, Loman, that's nothing but a state. It's nothing but an atmosphere. I said, Dr. Bowden, I'll admit I've been in some atmospheric conditions that were so heavenly that if the Lord hadn't stayed his hand, I couldn't have took it. And I'll be honest with you, I've been in a few like that. I've been in times when the Shekinah glory of God fell and the glory fell in some meetings, beloved, until if he hadn't stayed his hand, I actually believe he'd have glorified me and took me to heaven. You take, the physical can't take too much. And I'll tell you, friend, that I've been blessed out of myself more than one time, but I'm saying to you that it's more than a condition. It's more than an atmosphere. I'm glad it's a place. And I'm on my way to that place. But while I'm on my way to that place, I'm enjoying heavenly realities right down here. And some of them are all wrapped up in this chapter. Now let's notice what he says. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I, what for? That I may have the heritage thou hast given those that fear thy name. Now in chapter 1, we have the first one. The inheritance of attention. Look at what he says. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. And underline that word, attend. If you're on the rock and if you belong to him, I mean totally his, you have the inheritance of attention. He has to pay attention to you. He's obligated to do exactly what he promised in his word. Call on me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You can ask what you will and it shall be done. And he's obligated to pay attention to you. World War II. I was pastoring in North Carolina. One morning a little lady stood up back there and she said, Brother Loman, I've got to testify. She said, all of you know I got two boys in the service. One of them, I don't know where he is, but I got a boy on Guadalcanal. And she said, this morning I was awakened at 3 o'clock just like someone shook me and called me by name and woke me out of my sleep. And she said, I felt all of a sudden that my boy was in grave danger. She said, I don't know what time it was on Guadalcanal. I don't know how far it was over there. But I slipped out of my bed and got on my knees. And I said, Lord, I don't know what time it is in Guadalcanal and how far it is across the miles to that war zone. But you know what the situation is. And I felt that my boy was in danger. And I said, Lord, would you just hear me and give me the assurance that you'll take care of my boy. And she said, Brother Loman, the Lord spoke to me and said, just turn him over to me and I'll take care of him for you. She said, I had no doubt but what I'd had an answer from the Lord. He'd paid attention to my prayer. And I went back to bed and went to sleep and slept like a child. 3 weeks passed and she came back to church. She was at church all the services, but this particular Sunday morning, she said, Preacher, I got to say something. 3 weeks ago, I told you that I felt like my boy was in grave danger on Guadalcanal. She said, I got a letter from Paul this week, and he said, Mom, you know, several days ago, one of the most unusual things happened. The fighting was at its worst. The bombs were falling. The shrapnel was flying. And he said, some of my best buddies died that morning, and their blood stained the soil around my foxhole. But he said, all of a sudden, when the fighting was at its worst, I felt like a canopy settled down over my foxhole. And I felt like that I was engulfed with some unusual surrounding. And she got blessed. She said, Preacher Lohman, you know what that was? That was God paying attention to me. That was God looking after my boy. And I want to tell you, friend, today, I'm sure that if you had the time, that every one of you could testify that more than one time you've called on him and you felt like, beloved, that you got a definite answer, that he paid attention to your cry and he gave you the desires of your heart. And I could stay here till dinner and never get through telling you, beloved, how wonderful it is to have the inheritance of attention. Promise to pay attention to us. I was one of the preachers in the Morrison Park camp meeting several years ago. I was to fly up to Cincinnati and meet Dr. E.R. Overly, the other evangelist, and we were going to ride down to Bowling Green, Kentucky in his car. It was a perfectly clear day, and it was the day before the jet airliners, and about the best plane they had in the air in those days was the old DC-3. And I boarded an Eastern Airlines DC-3 in Greensboro, North Carolina, perfectly clear day, not a cloud in the sky, and took off. By the time we got over the mountains in Virginia, it began to get cloudy, and when we landed in Roanoke, Virginia, it was raining. The steward came back through the plane, and he said to the passengers, there's no planes landed in Charleston, West Virginia today, and we don't think we'll be able to get in there. And maybe you better get off here and wait till the next flight at 1:30. And I sat there on that plane. I didn't know what to do, because I was supposed to change planes in Charleston, West Virginia, and take American Airlines to Cincinnati. And I saw everybody on that plane get off. And I just bowed my head and I said, Lord, I've got to know. What must I do? And just as plain as I'm talking to you, he said, son, let me show you the exceeding greatness of my power. Let me show you the exceeding greatness of my power. You know where that's found? First chapter of Ephesians. To us who believe. And I sit there, I didn't even unfasten my seatbelt. He came back, he said, sir, aren't you going to get off? I said, no, sir, I'm going to stay on. He said, you understand, if we don't land in Charleston, we'll have to go into Louisville, then you'll have to fly back to Cincinnati. I said, I understand that. And beloved, everybody got off that plane but me, the pilot, the co-pilot, and the steward. And he took off in one of the worst storms I was ever in my life. You couldn't see the wings spread part of the time. And it bounced that DC-3 around like a rubber ball up there. The steward was buckled in close to me, and he said, you know, he said, sir, I don't think we'll land in Charleston. He said, this is about one of the worst storms I've been in. I said, well, how high are we? He said, about 2,000 feet over the highest mountain peak in West Virginia. But he said, I don't think we'll land in Charleston. Any of you folks have ever flown that route, and I don't fly it if I can get out of it. Because the Charleston, Virginia airport's not a thing in the world but a sawed-off mountaintop, one of the most difficult air terminals in this country to get into. And I bowed my head and I said, Lord, I'm not going on a pleasure trip. I'm not going on vacation. I'm going on business from a king. And I said, I stayed on board this plane because you told me you wanted to show me the exceeding greatness of your power. And I said, you said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. And I said, Lord, I'm counting on you to get me in. I hadn't no more than finished praying till the bell rang in the captain's compartment. That steward unbuckled his seat belt and staggered up that aisle and came back and sat down, buckled his seat belt. He said, the captain says he's going to try to land in Charleston. Almost come out of my seat. I said, how far out are we? He said, about 15 minutes. And he said, he'll circle that airfield 3 times, and if he doesn't see that runway, he'll go on to Louisville. And I could tell when we came in over the air terminal, he was banking the plane, and the steward said he's making his first round now. And went around, you couldn't see a thing. Second time, he said he's on his second approach now, and couldn't see a thing. And I said, Lord, you said you wanted to show me the exceeding greatness of your power, and this is it. God being my witness, that man made that second pass for that runway, and that runway opened up just as clear as I see that aisle down there. And he brought that DC-3 down, touched her down on that runway. And beloved, all I could do to hold myself, brother. I got blessed. Finally, the plane taxied to it, stand still, and I walked down the steps. It wasn't raining, but you couldn't see the way. He said, you know, boss, he said, you sure are lucky. He said, that's the first plane that's landed here today. But he said, you got the best pilot in there that Eastern Airlines has got. And I got blessed sure enough then to know that in a situation like that, I had the best pilot Eastern had. But you know, I said to him, I said, I might have had the best pilot Eastern's got, but I got a bigger pilot than he is. My problem still wasn't over. American Airlines had to come in there 45 minutes later and get me out of there. And I walked into the ticket counter and I said to the lady on duty, I said, are you expecting flight so-and-so in on time? She said, as far as we know, it'll be in, sir. I walked back out on the runway and that black boy come over to me. And I don't know how he knew, but he walked up to him and he said, pardon me, sir, but are you a reverend? I said, yes, sir, I'm a minister. He said, what do you mean while ago when you said that you had a bigger pilot than Eastern Airlines has got? And I told him how sitting down that Roanoke, Virginia on that plane, everybody got off but me, and the Lord told me he wanted to show me the exceeding greatness of his power. And while I testified to him, the hot tears rolled down across his face and dripped down on his jacket. He said, boss, he said, have you ever prayed for a colored boy? I said, yes, sir, I have. He said, I sure wish you'd pray for me. He said, I'd sure like to know your Jesus. 45 minutes later, American Airlines came down out of those clouds. They didn't even cut the engines. Not one person got off, and I was the only one that got on. They took me to Cincinnati. I'm talking about this business, beloved, of the inheritance of attention. You said, but Brother Loman, do you believe it's still possible? Oh, yeah, but you got to remember, he says you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. But if you're on the rock and you know what it is to have that kind of a foundation and that kind of stability and that kind of faith, then you are absolutely in line for his attention, because he's promised to pay attention to our cry. But he goes a step further, and he says in verse 3, for thou hast been a shelter for me, and underline that word shelter. If you're on the rock this morning, you got a shelter, a hiding place, a place of refuge in the time of storm. And if the truth is known, every one of you that's been in the waver along have at times have had to find a refuge. You've had to find a shelter. Because none of us are strong enough that we can encounter all of the onslaught of Satan and the attack of the enemy against our soul, but what we have a hiding place. We've just got to have a place of refuge. And I'm so glad, beloved, that he's promised us that we could have a refuge in the time of storm. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Hallelujah. Oh, my friend, today, I wouldn't be without the hiding place. I wouldn't be without that place, beloved, where I can slip away and feel that I'm just kind of taken in and I'm enveloped with his presence, and his presence surrounds me. Storms rage and billows toss and winds blow. But you can find yourself secure in him. A hiding place in the storm. A place of refuge when the enemy assails the soul. Thou hast been a shelter for me. And oh, beloved, hear me. You can know what that is. You can know how wonderful it is to have that kind of place to hide. In the pavilion of his grace, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. May sound a little elementary to you, but did it ever occur to you that David could have said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I'll fear no evil. But he didn't say that. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And did it ever occur to you, and you know death somewhat symbolizes darkness, but did it ever occur to you that you can't have a shadow unless you got a light? My brother, you can't have a shadow in darkness. You know why he said the valley of the shadow of death? Because Jesus Christ, who has told us on no uncertain terms that I am the light that lighteth the path of every man. And I believe that when that time comes, that's one reason I don't think too much about it. It may come before the sun sets tonight. But I believe that if it should come at any minute, it'll not be a dark valley. Because he's going to walk with me down to the valley and his presence cast a shadow. And it'll just be a shadow as we pass through. A shelter, a hiding place, a place of refuge. Blessed be God. But then he goes a step further and he talks about, beloved, the inheritance of his abiding presence. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Oh, beloved, hear me. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, the inheritance of his abiding presence. Don't you like to sing, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other's ever known. His abiding presence. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you, but I'll go with you. Hallelujah. His abiding presence. And there have been times, beloved, that I couldn't see a ray of light. There have been times if I had depended on my feelings, I wouldn't have had an ounce of religion. And if I depended upon some unusual emotional outburst, I wouldn't have had it. You pardon a personal reference. 1952, I encountered the darkest year of my entire ministry. I used to be in the business world. I owned two funeral homes and a flower shop from 1947 to 1952. And the Lord saw that unless he did something about that business venture, that I might be deterred along the way in my ministry, and I saw the Lord allow it all to be swept away. I never questioned him. I never doubted but what it was the best. I never took one thing off the altar. But beloved, I was still human, and I know why people commit suicide when you lose everything. I didn't want to pick up my mail. I didn't want the phone to ring. I didn't want anybody to ring the doorbell. I lived in the throes of darkness, but I never relinquished my faith. And I was preaching in our home church one night in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I seemed to get in the brush, and I just didn't seem, it didn't appear that I was getting the message across, having a hard time. Seemed like everything I said fell back in my face. And people that know me best know that I'm not an isolationist. I like people, and I love to stay around and have fellowship. But that night, God honored his word, gave us victory, but I didn't want to talk to anybody, and I slipped out the side door. The pressure was heavy. And I went on to the car. Wife came, the children, and I don't think there was a word spoken all the way home. We put the children to bed, and Elizabeth said, I'm going to finish my ironing before I go to bed tonight, and I went in and lay down across the bed as fully clothed as I am right now. And the devil came. And if I ever had a battle with him in 43 years, I had it that night. It seemed that he perched right on my bedpost and he said, Loman, you're a fool. God doesn't love you. If God cared for you, he would have never allowed these reverses to come and all this loss. And you made such a mess trying to preach tonight. And he said, you, no doubt those people laughed at you, the struggle you had. And you know, I listened to him for about 20 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. He almost convinced me that God didn't care. But just about time I had taken all I could take, God spoke to me. And he said, son, lay your head over on my bosom. I've got something to tell you. And this is what he said, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. And thou art mine. When thou walkest through the waters, they'll not overflow thee. Through the fires, thou shalt not be burned. And he came so near. And I came off that bed, I said, hallelujah. Went out into the kitchen, Elizabeth said, what is it? I said, honey, I just heard from heaven. His abiding presence.
He may not come ahead of time, but I've never known him to be a minute late. Just when I need him most, Jesus is near. Always to comfort, always to cheer. Hallelujah.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.